You're listening to WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul.
Check, check, one, two. Broke like a little country. Rock and roll and blues. Cause we sure love playing. The good people like you. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two.
Welcome to Music Local and Sustainable, the radio show that features discussions with and the music of local musicians. I am your host, Dave Lake. Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I'm talking with clarinetist Annette Cohen. Annette Cohen will be performing with the Savannah Jazz Orchestra on Saturday night, September 20th at 8:10 p.m. as part of the Savannah Jazz Festival in Forsyth Park. Welcome to Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, Annette Cohen.
Thank you very much, Dave. It's great to be here.
Well, let's get to know Annette Cohen. Tell me your musical journey.
Wow, my musical journey. I feel like I'm just at the beginning of the journey. There are technical things to learn that I've, you know, acquired and tried to master over the years. My main instrument right now is the clarinet. I started with some keyboard when I was younger, and I transferred to the clarinet, but then I wanted to play jazz, and they suggested I focus on the saxophone and forget about the clarinet, and then I got into world music, and the clarinet reappeared, and now I'm a clarinetist again, and I worked all through the years to figure out new repertoire and technique and sound and different instruments. But I think the real main goal is to figure out how to be in peace with music, how to be one in music, and to really hear the sounds in my head that connect to my soul, that connect to the outside world, and be able to deliver it in the purest way. And there's a lot of obstacles, there's a lot of distractions, there's a lot of interferences. So the quest is how to maneuver in between all the interferences and just stay true.
So when did you start with the keyboard?
I was about 6 years old, and there was a teacher that a new immigrant from Romania that came to Tel Aviv to live in Israel. And even though she really hated kids, she was going from home to home and she was giving lessons. So she was giving lessons to a few children in the building. And since we didn't have a piano, we had this one of those like Yamaha furniture, those old organs with like two levels with, you know, buttons that say waltz and march and Roomba. And anyway, that's how I started.
Then you wanted to play jazz. And yeah. So it was, even though you wanted to perhaps play the clarinet, you were convinced to play the saxophone.
Yeah, you know, I think in the 80s, the 90s, music was louder. Clarinet was not the most favorite instrument. I got into high school and I got into a jazz major of this high school for the arts. And I think specifically the teacher was more into like more weather report sound. And the clarinet's like, what the heck is that instrument? Don't bring that one. Bring any saxophone. Just don't bring the clarinet. So when you're high school students, you do what your teachers tell you. It's like, all right, I'll just leave the clarinet at home. I mean, I luckily, and that's kind of connecting with the concert we're going to do, I always played in a big band. And when you sit in the saxophone section in a big band, at least that's the way it used to be, then you have to double. When you have the tenor chair, you double at least on clarinet, sometimes on flute, sometimes soprano sax, other instruments, but at least on the clarinet. Somehow among the saxophone players, I was always very comfortable, more comfortable than the rest of the section on the clarinet, because that was my original instrument. But I kind of let it go because I got accepted to Berklee College of Music as a tenor sax player. So I focused on for about 10 years on the tenor saxophone. But the clarinet was by my side. So whenever I played in a big band, I always played it. Berklee College of Music, and it was have the film scoring department. So people will always call me to do sessions, record for the film score on the clarinet. And And I was like, Scott, because I had, come from a classical music and had some good chops on the clarinet, so I was comfortable. So it worked for my advantage as far as getting work and getting called for work. But when I was really wanted to improvise, I really focused on the saxophone.
So, when you were playing the clarinet before you were switched over to the saxophone because that was the jazz instrument, it was mostly classical.
Yeah, it was more classical music, and then but the first jazz I encountered was the music of New Orleans, where the clarinet is king. I didn't know anything about improvisation. We played charts by the original Dixieland band, and they were all their solos were written, and I was good. I could read music pretty well because I come from the classical world, and I played keyboard before, so reading one note at a time was easy. So I would play those written solos, and I loved the feeling. The whole thing about the music of New Orleans gave me so much joy, and it was, in some ways, I think, I mean, my goal today would be to find the same joy playing chamber music, classical chamber music. But at the time, it was the music of New Orleans. It was lighter versus serious and stressful. So I loved the music of New Orleans. And then when I got into modern jazz, they asked me to not to bring the clarinet anymore.
And so you then continued at Berkeley with a saxophone.
Yeah.
And at what point did the clarinet come back, and why?
Well, the clarinet was sitting there, and different people would call me to do different little things on the clarinet, and I would always double in the big band. And I even remember I played it at Berkeley when I was a part of the Phil Wilson band. Phil Wilson gave me a little feature on the clarinet, and he told me, you have a sound on the clarinet. And I'm like, what does that mean? I couldn't really understand what it meant. When I moved to New York, I moved to New York in 99, and I'm one of the people that, I mean, some people are very, very focused on one thing they want to do, and I'm more of like go with the flow kind of person. So people would call me to play different gigs, and at some point after living in New York for a while, I realized I do more gigs on the clarinet than on the saxophone. And it wasn't really a choice. It was just happened to be I would play Brazilian choro music on the clarinet, and we play Colombian music on the clarinet, Venezuelan music on the clarinet, all kinds of folkloric music from South America. And I felt very connected and very natural in it. So one day I was like, wait a second, I'm playing more gigs on the clarinet than I'm on the saxophone. I mean, I was saxophone was still my main instrument, but when I came out with my album Poetica, I put out two albums at the same time in 2007. One is called Poetica and one is called Noir. On my album Noir, which is a modified big band with great arrangement by Odette Levary, I'm playing all the saxophones, alto, soprano, tenor, and I play clarinet. But on Poetica, the album that came out on the same day, I'm playing clarinet only with a jazz quartet, with some string quartet, connecting my roots as a classical musician. Connecting my roots to some songs that I grew up with, listening in Israel, melodies that for me are eternal. And it's almost like suddenly the world was like, whoa, wait a second, she's a clarinet player. wasn't, again, you see, it wasn't like I'm going to make an album and I'm going to become a clarinet player. It's just something that happened naturally. And suddenly people started to pay attention to my clarinet playing. And I was like, oh, I dig that. I paid attention, but I thought nobody wanted to hear it. So I just ignored it. And then I started to put it in the forefront and became a band leader, playing mainly clarinet. And as before, my balance would be playing a full concert on the tenor saxophone and the soprano, and then playing one song on the clarinet. It became the opposite. I would play a full show on the clarinet and maybe one song on the saxophone. So I became a clarinet player.
Now, do you think that that reaction to your clarinet album illustrated what you were told, that you have a sound on the clarinet?
Yeah. I mean, I just, it's, you know, understanding that idea, it took me a long time to understand what it means you have a sound. I mean, until today, I mean, sometimes I hear something, but it's hard to have a sound on an instrument when you listen to someone, you know, you listen to Sidney Bechet, you know it's Sidney Bechet. There's no question about it. But it's not as obvious with any musician that you listen to. I mean, people, to get your own sound. So it was little spots along the way that gave me confidence. And I think confidence is conversation with mentors, a little acknowledgments from clarinet players, from mentors, to just tell me you be you and you'll be fine. And to understand that me on the clarinet is me 100%. And I don't need to ask for permission. I don't need to find my space. I feel natural to play the clarinet, and I like it. And I want to bring everything that I do, all the kind of different kinds of music that I like, and I want to figure out how to make it through my vision of how music should be in chamber jazz, in that coming from classical music, the understanding of an ensemble, the way it needs to move together and breathe together. But have used the power of the clarinet, the beautiful long tones, low notes, the power of the high, like leading sounds, and it's a powerful instrument. In the right hands, it can do magic. And it can also, yeah, it can be painful in the wrong hands. What can I say?
This is WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul.
You're listening to WRUU, your local radio station, for people just like you, hosted by people from your community. The voices you hear are your neighbors, coworkers, and others from the Savannah and Lowcountry area. In other words, WRUU is your community radio station. Please help us by donating whatever you can to help your neighbors and friends stay on the air. Go to WRUU.org and support your local radio station. Any amount is welcomed. Thank you for your support of WRUU.
This portion of WRUU's programming is brought to you by listeners like you and by the Savannah Jazz Festival. The Savannah Jazz Festival runs without charge from September 19th to the 21st in Forsyth Park and at District Live in the Plant Riverside District of Savannah. It features musicians such as Rodney Jordan, Spyro Gyra, and Annette Cohen. More information can be found at www.savannahjazz.org. Performers for Social Justice Awareness are presenting a staged concert performance of selections from Kurt Weill and Bertolt Brecht's opera, The Three Penny Opera. The performance will be at the Sentient Bean, 13 East Park Avenue, Savannah, on October 4th at 7 p.m. There will be a cover charge, cash only. More information can be found at www.facebook.com/justiceawareness2016. Evening Eclectic features weekly conversations with and the music of national and international musicians from a wide range of musical genres. Join me, Dave Lake, your evening eclectic host, and these musical guests each week on Sunday nights from 8 until 10 p.m. on WRUU. Welcome back to Music Local and Sustainable, and I'm your host, Dave Lake. Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I'm talking with clarinetist Annette Cohen. Annette Cohen will be performing with the Savannah Jazz Orchestra on Saturday night, September 20th, at 8:10 p.m. as part of the Savannah Jazz Festival in Forsyth Park. It is true that it can easily be covered up when you're talking about a larger ensemble, but it is your, say, your quartet, Quartet Chinhoe, is the one I'm thinking of right now, because that's the one that's captivated me. Wow, since 22, maybe, was when the first Chinhoe album came out. But last year's Bloom was just phenomenal. But to me, that's how I picture you. I mean, I picture you in a small ensemble where the clarinet, you know, even though you have other instruments that can easily overwhelm a clarinet, like an accordion can easily overwhelm anything, and the piano, but it's shaped so that the clarinet in its full glory can be expressed.
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for saying that. You know, with specifically with this, with Quattacino, with this band, it's such a, it really is about exploring the different sonorities of various instruments that the band members play. This is a quartet that each person from the band plays at least two instruments. So the piano player plays accordion, and the bass player plays seven-string guitar, and the percussion player is also a vibraphone player, and I play clarinet and bass clarinet, and then there's all kinds of little percussion and little sounds and electronics and possibilities. But really, there to figure out how each instrument can find the instrumentation of the band and finding the expression and knowing how to go from the most delicate moments to high, funky, energetic music to the most delicate moments. It was an exploration for the clarinet, but really exploration of sound by the whole band. Well, I'm so happy that you like it.
Because the clarinet, when allowed to and can be heard, has such rich, low tones, but it can soar amazingly high, which is very difficult for you, but it's a wonderful sound. And so that's perhaps why you don't often hear the clarinet except for solos in a big band, because, you know, particularly that low end can easily be muffled by other instruments. But it's got such a rich low end that is just so passionate.
Yeah, it's always a challenge when you want to play with the band and play the clarinet and showcase the full range of the instruments. Because, I mean, the classic example is if I would come like to a jam session, people are playing and everybody is playing in high full energy, and then I go up with the clarinet and people see the clarinet and immediately start turning down the volume like subito piano, everybody's playing with it. But then the energy is gone. Okay, it's nice. If I want to start a solo from scratch, fine, it's my choice. But people see the clarinet, immediately start playing soft. And then what happens is that if I'm going to play the high notes and the whole band is going to play kind of without any support, then I'm going to stick out and everybody's going to ask for earplugs, because then there's going to be too much difference. So in order to accompany the clarinet needs sound, needs to feel the, you know, the cymbals, the drums, the high notes, that they need to exist so the clarinet can penetrate through it and bring the energy up. Otherwise, it just sounds like it's hurting the ears. And on the contrast, to find a space in the music where you can really play that shallow register, the low register, it's such a magical sound. And I love to whisper into the clarinet, and something that influences from Coleman Hawkins and Ben Webster and Tony Scott, hearing like this a sound full of air in the low register of the clarinet with vibrato. It's, you want to whisper, but for that you need people to open up the space for you. So you need to figure out how to tame the musicians you play with and how to work out sounds and to play with people that really care about sound. Because if everybody's gonna turn up their amplifiers and just play loud, then the clarinet has no choice but to play the high notes consistently, which, is not as pleasant.
So, in your ensemble, like Quartet Chignon, you can write arrangements. The other players know you, and so
Oh,
they
yeah.
can write arrangements that feature the clarinet appropriately. But when you do a big band, like a big band that you're going to be doing with the Savannah Jazz Orchestra, do you bring your own arrangements so that they have the feeling of knowing you?
Yeah. Now, playing with a big band is a little different. It's a difference of playing full orchestra and playing chamber music with a small band. I mean, when you play with the big band, you aim for, the climax is, it's big. So it wants to be like when we play the Benny Goodman arrangement for Oh Baby. Clarinet is amazing to lead into this like high energetic swinging part. It's a little different approach. But specifically, yeah, sometimes I bring my own arrangement. I will bring a few arrangements of mine. Some arrangements they were adapted even from the same album I mentioned, my album Noir that Odette Lavery arranged. On the original album, it's a modified big band with three cellos, but we readapted some of these arrangements for a big band. And this has like, the sounds that I love of world music, music from Brazil and music from New Orleans and different sounds, but through the vision of a big band playing. And the repertoire is yet to be finalized, but it will be in the next hour, actually.
Thank you.
So yes, I have some of my own arrangement, and they are written for clarinet. But I think the tradition of big band, since clarinet, the king of swing, had a lot of arrangements for the clarinet, and it's very well matched with big band sound in the history of jazz, between Artie Shaw and Benny Goodman, and it's not outrageous to have the clarinet being featured. So I'm excited about featuring it with the Savannah Jazz Orchestra.
And there's nothing like the clarinet in a swing tune. The clarinet swings.
The clarinet, it has a wide range. It's an instrument that is perfect for arpeggios. So the sound of like, it's a very easy to arpeggiate instrument. So it's perfect from the sound that we know from the swing sound. So it's a great match.
Well, and if someone says something about the saxophone versus the clarinet, saying one's better than the other, I'll always say, now, what was the opening to the Rhapsody in Blue? Remind me, was that a
Yeah,
saxophone?
the tormenting opening of the long gliss. It's a gliss comes with a prayer. Yeah, the clarinet is unique. Now, I think it depends also which culture one comes from, because for different people in Rio de Janeiro, one of the reasons why I like to play the clarinet is because of music called choro, Choro. Music that I fell in love with that really brought me back to the clarinet, because I started to play it in New York on a weekly basis, and the music is very technically demanding. It can be very fast and virtuosic, and it's a lot of time. It's written by guitar players and mandolin players that write everything in E major and an A major, which for us clarinetists is B major and C sharp major and F sharp major. It's like it's not the fun keys, but it helped me get my chops together. So it brought me back to play the clarinet, and made me fall in love with music and interacting with musicians through this music. But I think it depends each culture. Folkloric music, like Colombia, clarinet is part of cumbia music, of traditional folkloric music. Of course, there's klezmer music that I'm not really as special in that music. People just assume that because I'm Jewish, I play klezmer, but I have too much respect to this music to say I play it. I can fake it for about 20 seconds, and that's about it. But the clarinet can be associated for different cultures. It has a sound, but what it's still struggling to be associated with is modern music, the modern sound, because the saxophone took over the clarinet, the modern music, and pushed it aside, partially because it's a challenging instrument. It's hard to amplify well, so it was hard to hear, I think. And technically hard to play, the chromatic when the music got more complex and louder, and people just gave up. So maybe in the modern American sound, it's not as common, but in cultures of like South American cultures, and it's dominant and it's beautiful. So it all depends where you come from to say, oh, clarinet is cool, and people say, oh, clarinet, Benny Goodman, and that's the end of discussion.
Well, again, one of the things about Savannah is that we have good jazz down here, but we also have the Savannah Music Festival, which brings world music here. And so Quartet Gignaux, the Bloom album, is just a fabulous trip through music. You mentioned Brazilian music, and on that album you have Coco Roco, which you and James Shipp put together, which is just a wonderful dance.
Yeah, it was a collaboration. Jazz came up with the Coco groove, which is a groove from the northeast of Brazil, and he was playing it and just having some idea of a bass line, and then I came up with the melody. It would be kind of quirky, but I know how Vitor would play it on the piano or the accordion, and we could unison it, and it's gonna be wild and out. And so yeah, we wrote this song that is influenced by Brazilian rhythm, but then it opens up to other places. And again, the being able to choose musicians that you can go folkloric, but then you can go out and awkward, and experimental and go back to folklore. And with Cuatecino, it's a real pleasure to explore.
Thank you.
Well, on the Bloom album, you explore because you do, Coco Roco, which is, from Brazil, but you also have a great cover of Thelonious Monk's Twinkle Tinkle.
Yeah, I really wanted to play a Monk song. Monk was such a unique character, and his songs, over the years, I've been part of different music scenes, and I remember even living in Boston when I was part of what they called the Latin scene, playing at Wally's every Thursday with the Latin jazz people. They would always play Monk, and I was like, they put the clave on it, and it works. And then you play it straight ahead, and it works. And then it works, and then you put some kind of Brazilian rhythm on it, and it works. So Monk is one of those composers that he left us the compositions. The melodies are so identifiable that you can just put almost anything underneath it. So I wanted to take Twinkle Tinkle and say, let me figure out a way to get out of the 4-4 feeling, but keep that vibe of Monk and but still change it. So I came up with this arrangement in 3-4, and it took a second for the band to digest what I want to do, because sometimes things are obvious to me in my head, and it takes a second to transmit it to the rest of the world. But then they got it, and once they start to feel comfortable playing it, it became one of our favorite thing to play. And as a band, it gets more and more elastic every time we play it. The time and the treat of it is, it we build more trust, so it becomes more flexible. So that's our Twinkle Tinkle arrangement.
And when I was first saw the album and I was looking over the set list, I sort of go, say what? And that's because the fact that I also have a program called 4 Centuries of Great Music. It's a music-only program that is classical music. But I like to explore other regions, not just European classical music, but Latin classical music. For instance, there's such a rich classical music history in Latin America. And one of the pieces I've played is Agustin Berrios's La Catedra. And when I saw the jazz ensembles doing La Catedra, let's listen to this. And it is fabulous. You do the third movement, the Allegro.
Yeah, I got to be surrounded by fabulous guitar players over the years because of my love for Brazil and how the Brazilian guitar is a classical guitar. You know, some of it is 6-string, some of it is 7-string, but La Catedral is one of those pieces that I think every guitar player studies at some point. Actually, the first guitar player who introduced me to this song was Romero Lubambo. And I thought, oh my God, I will never be able to play this song. It's so hard on the clarinet. It's written for guitar. What am I thinking? But after a few years of playing it, I decided to bring it to Quattrocento because when musicians come from classical music, they're all adventurous. They're all with open-minded. It was really a beautiful exploration. And my friend, again, Odette Levary, he was helping me produce the album. He gave a few suggestions about how to opening it up and not worry about playing all the notes, just letting the song became what it wanted to be in the studio. And I'm very happy with the version that we came up with, this Agustin Berrios La Catedral.
Thank you.
Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I've been talking with clarinetist Annette Cohen and saxophonist, we learn. But you won't be bringing the saxophone, I'm sure.
Just the clarinet.
And she'll be performing the clarinet with the Savannah Jazz Orchestra on Saturday night, September 20th at 8:10 p.m. as part of the Savannah Jazz Festival. The Savannah Jazz Fest runs from the 19th to the 21st, both at Forsyth Park and then at District Live. So I want to thank you so very much, Annette Cohen, for being on the show tonight.
Dave, it's so great to talk to you. And thank you so much for your careful listening of Guatachillo Bloom and for your support for jazz and for loving this music so much. Because when you love it, then you make other people love it too. So thank you so much.
This has been another edition of Music Local and Sustainable. And I've been your host, Dave Lake. Save this time for another show next week.
Well, I know we ain't headed for the Hall of Fame. Gonna give it what we got, man, it ain't no shame. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two.